let's just do a little bit of review. Then we're going to get right into tonight. Tonight's really putting a lot of the pieces together. And it's really a practical, let's just remind ourselves on how does this work. So what did we do in the Sunday school hour is we just talked about the fact that this culture is different than it used to be, yet the gospel worked then and the gospel works now. And in fact, we're probably a little bit more worldly than we'd like to admit. And what needs to happen is, in our culture, just a few years ago, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, really the culture would attack Christianity by saying, is it what? What was the way that they would attack? Is it good? But how do they attack, really, Christianity today? Is it, I mean, does our culture have a heyday when some preacher does something loser? I mean, I just saw it in USA Today. I read it every day, and there's one about some pastor, and you know, he had AIDS, and he's sleeping with people, and in the congregation, and you know, isn't it amazing they make a big? I'm sure there's other people who have done that, right? So why did this one make the news? Because it's a pastor, and really the culture is they're like, yeah, is that even real? And so what the point was is we need to live a life that is real. Then we took the time just to talk through what is the gospel. We used four words, right? You guys got the four words still? Same with me. It's okay. You know what we're trying to do with that? We're just trying to say this is some basic framework that no matter who I talk to, I know I need to see where they're at. You know, if I start talking and I get some crazy stories just in traveling, sitting on the airplane, and you know, people after a service, I don't know, I'm just like this target. People love coming up to me after the service and just saying things, and I'm just kind of used to it. That's what happens. But I get some of the greatest conversations about the gospel, and sometimes some people they really do believe in the God of the Bible, that he's eternal and that he's holy and all this, and so I don't need to camp out there, but in my mind I know, okay, God, and then man. And as I start to talk to them, well, they think we're kind of bad, but they just don't think we're really bad, right? Well, I need to take the time to talk about man. And probably if they don't understand that we're really bad, they probably don't understand the grace that God showed through Christ. And they probably don't believe in grace through faith alone, do they? But you know what happens is if you got a general structure, you know where it is. And really what I was trying to communicate is the gospel is still the power of God and salvation. You know, our culture's bad, okay? But you know what? First century Mediterranean was bad too. And God's word worked then, and God's word works now, and you don't need a PhD before you start giving people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then last night what we did is we said, okay, so what is life like? What is religion? Religion is either legalism, is mysticism, or it's asceticism. And does religion save? No, but Christ saves, and Christ sets us free so that we can kill sin, so that we can seek the things which are above. And you know, it's really in living that and showcasing that gospel that people see the greatest apologetic we have, and the greatest apologetic we have is a life as a Christian. Really just showcasing, this is the love of God, which you can have through Christ Jesus. So tonight what we want to do is we want to just communicate and understand and identify those that God has placed into our life to reach with the message of the gospel. So what I want us to do is I want us just to identify the communities of people around us. Now, we have really two communities. We have our geographical community. Those are the people that live around us that we don't know. And we have our relational community. And those are the people that we do know. Now, over the past 50 years, there's been emotional pleas to, you know, reach one to the exclusion of the other. I mean, it used to be you could only give the gospel if you went up to a total stranger and had some diagnostic questions, right? And so you'd say, hey, do you know for sure where you'd spend eternity? And then you kind of have this little system. And you know what? That's great. But there were, I've been in services where it's like, that was it. You know, it's like on Tuesday night or on Saturday, you had to give the gospel. Then I was in one church and we were talking about really sharing our faith all week long. And one guy came up to me and said, you know, the concept of sharing your faith the whole week long is amazing, because then you got to be a, like a real Christian all week. I said, novel, huh? That's some originality. So it's not just a day or two, and it's just not up to total strangers. But then you had like the kickback, and people are like, oh, it's got to be total or relational. And you got to spend time with them for like 3 years before you can even bring up Jesus. No, it's not an either or, it's a both and. It's just like, hey, talk to people you don't know and talk to people that you do know. In fact, as we're identifying our physical communities, generally sharing your faith with someone you don't know may be easier. But many times the most effective witness is to those in your relational community. And just think with me for a moment. Is it easier to just give a tract to a stranger like on a plane? Or is it easier to talk to your brother or sister or uncle or aunt that you've given the gospel to 3 times already? I mean, I was doing my grandma's funeral, and I got off the plane, and I was seeing my uncle and aunt, and I'm just walking up to them and say hi, and they're like, no, don't tell me any gospel stuff. I mean, how many of you have any relatives or people close to you that are like, they've already heard it from you, and they don't want to hear it again? Yeah. But at the same time, do you know that most people are usually saved from a relational connect? I mean, let's just do a little informal survey here. How many of you were reached by someone that you really didn't know? I mean, you sat in the service and you got saved, or it was like on the TV, or a gospel tract or something like that. How many of you were reached by somebody you did not know? Would you raise your hand? Okay. How many of you were reached through a relationship? Would you raise your hand? Do you know that's the same stat I see most places? It's about an 80-20. And you know what? It's not an either-or. It's a both-and. I'm so thankful that somebody from 10 Mile Community Church knocked on the door of my mom's house and gave her the gospel. She'd never heard a clear presentation of the gospel before in her life. She hears it. She gets saved. Awesome. But you know what? The impact on my sisters and my own life was really from a mom that knew Jesus Christ. You see, what we're looking for is we're looking for nodes that open up whole other relationships. I mean, think about the woman at the well with Jesus, right? I mean, here's Jesus giving the gospel to somebody that they'd never met before. But then what did the woman go do? Man, she just can't stop talking. You see, it's not an either or, it's a both and. Scriptures reveal that Christ and the apostles and the early church targeted both groups. And God's put you in a specific place to reach those that are around you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's just kind of talk about our geographic community. These are people with whom you don't know personally, but you live, you play, you work around. Your church's geographic community is like a 5 to 10 mile radius around this area. Now let's just say there's someone gets saved in Layton. Okay, are they gonna come to the church here? Maybe, but not usually. Let's say they're from Pocatello, Idaho. You see, eventually people are gonna, they're just not gonna travel the distance. And so a church is in an area to reach an area. That's why we plant other churches in other areas, because the best way to reach a community is actually to live in the community, to actually work in the community, to love the community, and to be a part of it. Our personal geographic community is our neighborhood, our work, our school. Give me some examples in Scripture of people that... Oh, now, don't look at your notes. That's the only bad thing about a full set of notes. Cheaters, cheaters, cheaters. Tell me some people that were saved out of their geographical community. Can you think of some? You can say it off the notes if you already peeked. It's okay. Tell me some. Okay, you have to look at the notes now. No, all right. These are people that had no prior relationship, but you've got Jesus and the paralytic man. You've got Jesus and Zacchaeus, Jesus and Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the man born blind, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Paul and Silas, the Philippian jailer, Paul the man on Mars Hill, Paul and Agrippa. These are all people that had no prior relationship that these people gave the gospel to. By the way, I did a thing about 5 years ago. I took the New Testament. I bought a Bible specifically for this. And all I did is I read through the entire New Testament and I looked for everything about evangelism I could. And I circled the relationships and underlined the geographical ones, and it's a both and. You see both of these taking place in Scripture. It's okay for you to give the gospel to somebody you don't know. It's okay to give them a gospel tract. It's okay. I get a lot of free passes being in the city now for 2 years. I still call myself kind of new, right? And so I use it to full advantage. What are you doing in this city? Oh, we're getting a church planted. Okay, what's it called? Gospel Grace. What's that? Well, it's the good news of God's grace. And I just kind of talk about it. I don't even wait. Why not, right? I mean, it's just, why not? Just go for it. You know, just go for it. And so it's not an either or, it's a both and. So let's just identify some people or our geographic community. So let's say that I gave a pastor, and I said, hey, Matt, I got 10 grand. It's got to go into flyers, okay? It was a special little fund that's all it could be used for. Where would you mail, if you had 10 grand worth of flyers, where would you mail around the church? 2 miles, and just the zip codes right here, right? So would you send stuff up to North Salt Lake? No. And would we send stuff to Provo? No. If we had a limited resource, we'd be saying, this is the target area. When you think of your house, how many of you know the 3, 4, or 5 homes that you should be most burdened about? I mean, how many of you believe you're in the home that God wants you to live in? Okay, it may not be the house you want to live in, but it's the house that God wants you to live in, right? I grew up 1336 Poplar Street. And it dead-ended into Elm, and Locust is the busy street, 18 homes, and it was just obvious that I didn't know anyone on Maple. I had 2 people on Maple, only 0 people on 9th Street. Those people on Poplar were the people I was to be most burdened for. So, what's yours? Someone just tell me, what's the 3, 4 homes? You just know. All right, somebody tell me. You see the names, right? Okay. Anybody live in a cul-de-sac? Yeah, I mean, that's an easy one, isn't it? It's like the cul-de-sac. I mean, are there other Christians that live in the cul-de-sac? Do you think that God put you there as salt and light? You see what I'm saying? Okay, so we got bounced out of our trailer. I think I was moaning and groaning about that. Well, we're in an apartment. Okay, do we really want to live there? No, we want to be in our trailer. But you know, we've had some great gospel connects. In fact, you know what? There's a girl that's been going to our kids club on Wednesdays. You know, who should we be most burdened about? Well, that neighbor above us and that one down there. And the one across the way just won't even give us the time of day. So, I mean, we were burdened, but there's not a lot we can do there. But there's another one that is. And so we're taking them cookies and all that. Not my cookies, but Christie's, right? Are you tracking what I'm saying? So let me ask you a question. How many of you know the 1, 2, 3 homes you should be most burdened for on your street? Yeah. Do you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to make this, I think sometimes we're burdened about everyone and we reach no one. We get this zoomed out purpose, you know, you're flying in the plane, oh, 1 million people, oh, wow, man, you know, got some cool song playing in the back, you know, in your head, and, wow, yeah, we just got to be burdened, tears, everybody. And then you don't even reach anybody. Where God has put you in a specific home, in a specific church, to reach a specific community. Let's like take the mystical side of evangelism way out. And let's just say, God, who are the ones you're burdened? At our work, I was talking to a lady. She goes, oh, I know mine. And she worked at some beauty salon. She goes, I've got 3 coworkers and I got 10 regular customers. Those are the people I should be most burdened about. Guy in Wichita Falls, Air Force guy, pilot trainer, and he goes, you know who I'm most burdened for? He goes, for 6 months, I get 32 new recruits. That's who I'm going to target. I'm going to target those 32, and within weeks, I'm going to figure out which ones are open, and that's who I'm going to be burdened about. That's who God wants me to be burdened about. One lady, she goes, I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. The whole audience goes, oh. She said, I love it. She goes, nobody else wants my job, and everyone lets me in their house because they all want me happy. You know what? God has put us in a specific place, specific time. Social network. I've been coaching a soccer club the last 3 years that I've been in the city, and we've last year had really nothing. But I got same parents, same everything. We bring them over to our house. We show them our trailer, feed them pizza. And they're just like, wow. And so this year I started up and I said, I just want you to know I'm a pastor. And so I'm just going to really do some life coaching with your kids. I just really want them to have character and all this kind of stuff and all the nice safe words, right? And you want to know something really cool? You want to know something really cool? There's been one of the kids has been going to the youth ministries all this whole time. Because that's who God wanted me to be burdened about, right? That's who's in my little social network. And you know, I think we make this so complex that we think about everyone outside of, oh wow, there's someone. No, who has God put into your life? So what's our responsibility? First of all, be involved. Great Commission Living is go ye therefore in the world. I mean, we are to actually go and seek people. I mean, we're to have a life that actually is trying to involve ourselves in those that are around us. It's just Great Commission Living. I think sometimes as we do and live, sometimes we're so put off by the wickedness around us that sometimes we cloister rather than go out, but model the gospel. Let people see your life. Love and serve. We had a neighbor who was a cranky, elderly Italian. Now, all those three do not have to go together. That's just what he was, all right? So, and he'd yell at me. He'd come up to his gate and he'd honk until I came out of my house to take in his groceries, and then he'd complain. And I would be so angry at this man, and my dad every Tuesday would cut this man's yard for free. And I'm like, Dad, he treats us like trash. And my dad would just love and serve. It's fascinating. Later on, as I went back. He was starting to die, and I took him out 5 times that summer to breakfast. And by the way, he'd driven off most of his friends, and I was giving him the gospel, and he's like, "How could God love me? How can God?" He never made profession. Gave him the gospel 5 times, and I thought, you know what? You know why I got the privilege to give him the gospel is because my dad cut that man's yard and just loved him. Anybody got cranky neighbors? My wife, I can brag on her because she's not here. The neighbor that caused us to have to move, she keeps taking them like cookies and stuff, and I'm just like, I'm like smiling. Oh, that's really good. But in my heart, I'm like, isn't that amazing? I mean, I'm supposed to be like Mr. Evangelist, and I still like struggle. Guess what? I don't think I'm talking too far off of what you think. And you know what? Love and serve and pray for open doors. And then when the open door happens, proclaim the word. I mean, it's just like, go for it. Just invite to things like on Wednesday. And then even target specific members of your geographical community and bridge them into your relational community. Do you know what? If you're just meeting and greeting people in life, and all of a sudden you meet someone that you connect with, do you think that's an accident? Do you know, I think sometimes we have this whole view of lost people. Like, I can only be friends with people that are going to get saved. How do you know? So you got to keep them at arm's length until they finally make a profession of faith. Well, how are they ever going to see if it's real or not? If they don't even know the real dude. Or dudette. So our geographic community is all around us, but our relational community, these are the people that we know. You know, they tell us that we know relatively, we maybe know 75 to 200 people. You know, that's pre-Facebook numbers, right? Because everyone on Facebook are best friends. It's co-workers, friends, relatives. These are people we share jobs, hobbies, interests, money, vision, experiences. These are people that we cry over. These are people, when they move, we cry. When they die, we cry. When they have a trial, we cry. These are people that we have heart connection with. And what are some examples in Scripture? Well, you've got like Matthew with his former co-workers, the demonic man, Andrew to Simon Peter, Philip to Nathaniel, woman at the well reaching the townsfolk. And so it's an either or. It's not... I mean, excuse me, it's a both hand. It's not an either or. It's not like I can only reach people I know, and it's not I can only reach people I don't know. No, it's just you're reaching people, but as you reach people, you begin to build a relationship with them. And so what's our responsibility while maintain redemptive relationships? Is it easy to stay friends with a lost person? Yes or no? Some are like, and some are like, Depends on where you're at. I mean, I've got some friends that I've been giving the gospel to a long time. It's this up and down relationship. Right now, one of them is really likes me. Okay, he just called me on the way home last night. We're good friends again. But let me tell you something. When I'm back in Idaho visiting my mom in December, and we go out, and he starts talking about religion, and then he starts talking about the exclusivity of Christ, he's going to get mad at me again because that's the way it works. And things are going to get icy, and then all of a sudden we'll be doing something else together, and it's not easy to build redemptive relationships, because the trial of being a Christian has always been, how do you stay holy and actually connected with people in the world? I mean, it's like a family gets all, we're like, okay, we're going to really give the gospel to our neighbors. We're going to invite them over. It's going to be great. Okay, are you ready? I'm ready. Okay, kids, make sure everything looks good. Sit up straight. Say please, thank you. Okay, they come in. We're so excited, feeding them all the perfect food. And we're like, honey, we're giving them the gospel. Yeah, we are spiritual. And everything's awesome because it's like this one-off. I mean, because we're kind of like checking it off. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, this is great. Can I be your friend? And you're like, are you saved yet? And they're like, can you come to my house? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if we can come to your house. And so, yeah, I guess so. And so you're like trying to get the kids, you know, dressed like not too, like too conservative, but not like worldly. And you're trying, you know, you're trying to get them on. And so you're walking over and you're a little bit nervous and you knock on the door. And sure enough, your worst fears. I mean, you open the door and there's something pounding upstairs that is some music. I mean, it's up there. And then there's something on the TV and you're just kind of like, oh boy. And then he throws you a cold one. Okay. Okay, we've all been there. And that's the tension. How do you stay friends when you don't have a lot in common, really? You don't have the ultimate in common. It is pressure. But we have to maintain redemptive relationships. It's not, you know what, you can't just do a little survey. So are you going to get saved in 6 months? Because if you're not, I'd rather go be friends with this person. Don't you think that maybe what happens is when God allows there to be relationships with unsaved people, don't you think it causes us to really have to walk in the Spirit? And you know what? There are times, by the way, we've had this since being in the city. There are things my kids have not gone over to do. There are things that that Christy went with the kids to do. You got to walk in the Spirit. But you know what it does? It helps you connect to real people who are hurting and broken. Some of us, it's like we never feel the pain of those that do not have Christ. And it's good for us to see broken people. And you know what? Read the Bible, and Jesus touched broken people. Maintain redemptive relationships, model the gospel, love and serve, proclaim the word. So you were praying for open doors. Now you're praying that the word would work. We've got some people, man, we're just praying. We're just praying, Lord, save them. Lord, crack it open. Lord, do a work, and praying that the word would work. And so what we're trying to do in this session, right, is we're trying to punch the myth. We're burdened about everyone and we reach no one. And then we're kind of needling us just a little bit. I want us to be a little bit uncomfortable. I want us to be like, oh, how can I do this? And how can I walk with the Lord? And I want us to feel that tension, because guess what? God is big enough to give us strength. The Spirit of God is real. He'll tell us when we should back off. He'll tell us when we should go forward. You know what? I want to push us to be broken and compassionate towards others. But then not only should we understand, identify the community of people around us, we need to understand the different methods of delivering the gospel. What I want to do with this is we did a standalone session of telling us what are the essential parts of the gospel, and I pulled that from this because I wanted you to notice that in the New Testament that there were many different ways to get into the gospel. If you were to talk to Christy, she would say she's not the best at sharing the gospel. I actually think that she's pretty good at it. But she feels like this, and she says it this way, and I think that some of you would identify with this. She says sometimes she just feels like, and I think especially when we're on the road, so like we meet a stranger and we're just trying to talk, she goes, sometimes I just feel like it's like the conversation's like, how's the weather? And then all of a sudden it goes to, so, do you know Jesus? And it gets awkward. Okay, how many of you have ever had one of those combos? And you just find yourself thinking, I don't know if I want to keep being awkward with people, right? Okay, so what I want to do is I want to communicate. There are essential elements of the gospel that don't change. God, man, Christ, response, right? But there's different ways to get into the gospel. And these are all taken from the New Testament. So we can communicate the gospel theologically, all right? So this is seen in the presentation at Pentecost when he used Old Testament prophecies to explain the Holy Spirit and the resurrection of Christ. This is John the Baptist when he's saying, I'm here to make straight the paths. I'm making straight the paths for Jehovah and Jehovah's Jesus. And so it's a theological presentation. I had a circumstance. I was doing a lot of study in Galatians. And so there's a lot of that tension of the law and stuff. I was preaching a message on John 3, verse 16, but all that I was studying in the background, so I had this message down, but all this stuff out of Galatians just started gushing out about the law, and you can't keep, you know, you can't be saved by the law, and you need grace, and I was just really waxing eloquent, right? You know? And anyway, I didn't really think there was any lost folks there, but all of a sudden, at the end of service, they would give an opportunity for the pastor would be standing at the front, and if a lady wanted to talk to about the gospel, she couldn't. This lady just walked out of her chair, and she just walked up, and she was a follower of Judaism. And she just walked up, and she said, I realize tonight, there's no way, in fact, that's been my greatest frustration my whole life, I can't keep God's law. Okay, I didn't realize what was happening, but it was a theological presentation. It was really just a systematic saying, this is what the law is, this is what grace is, and you can't do it, and you need Christ. And so there are times as we're just talking to folks, it could just be a theological presentation, and it could start with a question. It could be like, so talk to me. If you're not saved by grace through faith alone, but you're actually saved when you do the best and Jesus finishes it, why did God make Jesus die such a horrific death? Just ask a hard question, lovingly. What do you think about this? Have you ever thought about why Jesus died? I'm telling you, I've had so much fun in the city because everyone's got an opinion about things that are religious and God. Just ask questions, theological questions. Just ask any question about the gospel. So why did Jesus die? And just let them talk and just go, oh, okay, do you ever want to know what the Bible says why Jesus died? And if they don't, then keep moving. You've got a little question going on in the brain, just a little thing going. But then communicate the gospel historically. Paul presented the gospel of Antioch of Pisidia through historically shaped accounts. He started Exodus and continued to Christ. Stephen gave the gospel this way. A lady in the city that as LDS at my she said, I just don't know my Bible. And so we got her a book, and this actually goes with the next one thematically. It's kind of the same. Thematically is really from creation to the cross. You're kind of talking about the story of redemption. And so we got her this book called The Road to Emmaus. And what The Road to Emmaus does, and has anyone ever heard of that before? Okay, all it does is it just starts with creation, and it just keeps on working through why the law, and then lamb sacrifice, and it just works all the way to Jesus being the perfect Lamb of God. This was Jesus on the road to Emmaus, remember? There was those two guys, and they're like, oh man, terrible things. And Jesus is like, well, what's going on? Oh man, they killed Jesus. You know, there's so many funny things. You know that story? I would want to go like, you mean me? You know, or something like that. But Jesus then unfolds it, and he says, and he just walks them from the prophets, and they're like, whoa, that's some really good words. Wow, that is, you are a good teacher. And all of a sudden he leaves, and like, that was Jesus. Was that Jesus? That was Jesus. And you know, the New Tribes Missions uses this really well. They come into a place that's never had the gospel before, and they hold up placards of, like, creation. And they talk one day on day one and day two, and they take months. A buddy of mine had a friend who's a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and they were using that method of the gospel. So this tribe that never heard before, and they're getting to the end of the Old Testament, and he had to have an emergency trip back to the States for a funeral. And he's videoing all these Papua New Guinea men that were listening, and he said, so what do you guys think? And one Papua New Guinea man said, this is terrible. We have offended Creator God. And the missionary says, so what do you think? And the Papua New Guinea man's like, I don't know. There's no one here. There's no one here that could save us because we've all offended Creator God. And he says, so what do you think? And listen to this. Now this man has never heard the name Jesus before in his life. Okay? And this Papua New Guinea man goes, I don't know. Do you think maybe that Creator God will somehow, maybe he'll die for us? And you know what? Sometimes I think we're so antsy. In a good sense. I'm not saying bad. I just think that some of us, we're just so burdened for someone we love. Or do you know that really, you got postmodernism on one side, people that really have no understanding of the gospel, and you got some that have been so programmed with a certain view of the gospel. Do you know sometimes it just takes some time to walk through and explain and let them see and let them read the word for themselves? Can I remind you something? Thy word is truth. I love the pictures of the Bible. It's a light. It's a hammer. It's a sword. You know, Spurgeon said, he said, let the word work. Stop proving the sword and use the sword. Let the word just slice through falsehoods. So communicate the word thematically or historically. And then philosophically, what this is it's really like Paul did on Mars Hill. He knew the culture quite well, and he comes up to this idol, and they probably had a number of idols like this, but he said, let me just tell you the one that you're not titling. This is the Creator God. It's a great presentation. In fact, later on for another thing, I don't think we'll have time for it, but I've got it all written out, and you can have this. But what is he doing? He's like saying, let me tell you about the God who created all things. He is above all, and even though we're sinners, he still sent his son Jesus to die for us. And it's really taking and answering God, man, Christ's response, but in a philosophical way. So, example, I had a guy, I get done preaching, and he goes, wow, that was the best presentation of Christian truth I've ever heard. So what is he alluding to? Yeah. He, in fact, this is what he says. Have you ever considered adding some Hinduism or some Baha'i? I said, no, I've never considered that. And he said, oh, if you did, you would have such a full expression of spiritual truth. I said, but so who's Jesus? And he said, well, Jesus is the best expression of Christian truth. I said, well, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What do you think about that? He goes, whoa, wait a minute. Wasn't that written in the Bible? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, that was written by men. You can't trust that. So he's got this big pagan amulet. This is in Michigan. I said, so you're a pagan? He goes, yeah. And he was actually a specific, this is not a joke. It's a born-again pagan. It's a, they have this new birth pagan experience. And I said, so tell me, where did you get this stuff? And he goes, well, my uncle. And then there's some writings. I go, writings? You can't trust those. Those are written by men. He goes, blah, blah, blah. And I said, can I just say something? Do you know why you just totally threw out the Bible? Is because you want to pick and choose what you have to submit to. So what was going on there is taking the time to just, it was really just philosophical in nature, just kind of showing him his way of thinking actually produces a wrong thing over here. It's inconsistent for you to say this over here and to go over here, but if you want to put it on equal footing, now we can start talking about your writings versus writings that have been happened over 3,000 years with multiple authors and has rung true through the centuries and is the most popular book in the world. We can talk now. You see, take the time. It's like we don't have to rush to the Romans road. Do you see what I'm saying? Like I'm not taking away from the power of the gospel. It's only the gospel that saves. But there's many ways in scripture that we see how people got to it, or illustratively. Who likes stories, right? We all love stories. All the time. Well, Spencer did this to me. I said, so Spencer, this is his first year. He goes, now Will, I've heard a couple of your stories a couple times now, right? Because we love stories. We just love stories. And you know what? That's why we start laughing when I'm talking about this guy and this and that. You know who used stories the best? Who used the stories the best? Yeah, the guy from Iran. And one of his questions was this. He goes, "Oh, I just don't get it. So you're telling me like a person who loves God how was it?" He goes, "Oh, I just don't get it. How a guy that could live wickedly and get saved right at the last moment and everything's okay, and I just don't think that's fair." I open up to the parable about the all the guys getting paid. You know, the first one worked, and then the next one, they all got paid the same. I read him the story, right? I just read it to him. I said, "So what do you think about that?" He goes, "Okay, I get it." It was just boom. There we go. Because stories illustrate, they connect the heart, they illumine that truth. Take the time to tell stories. I was preaching to in Arizona. I was it was a number of Asian foreign exchange students, and one of the other guys had preached, and he said, "Wow, well, it's pretty hard." And I get in there, and I have this whole other message I was going to preach, and all of a sudden I get in there, and I'm looking at all these guys, and I'm realizing they're ESL, you know, English was second language, and so I just went to a parable, and I just start telling them a story, and then I was telling them, though, God, man, Christ's response through the story. So, conversationally, just this is where one year I'm getting my hair cut. So, why are you in the city? And this just happened this last time. I mean, this haircut right here. Why in the city? I'm in the city because we're helping plant a church. Really? What church? Oh, it's so you're not. Oh, no, this one was so you're not Mormon. I said, "No, I'm not." She goes, "Oh, I'm Catholic. When's your mass? I can't wait. I'll go to your mass." Well, it's just conversation. Well, what do you guys do? Well, what we do is we just really emphasize that, well, there's God. Have you ever heard God, right? You know God, and God, and I kind of talk through that, and then man, how that we this and this, and then Christ. And I told her there's four words I was going to use, and I was just talking, and I kind of got distracted, and all of a sudden she goes, "So what's the fourth word?" Well, she didn't make a profession of faith. But it's just kind of conversation, right? It's just talking. This is my life, right? This is your life. This is our life. But then personally, that's kind of, we'll skip that. You got some other specifics. If all you did is just shared your testimony, my mom never thought of herself as like a great gospel witness, but she had mastered the 2-minute testimony. I heard her many times when somebody would say something, she'd go, "Well, this is what I was like before I met Jesus, and this is how I met Jesus, and did you know you can meet Jesus?" I've heard her do that. In fact, you want to hear, this is a pretty cool story. These are some really neat things Lord's done recently. This is not my normal life, okay? I mean, there's many seasons where there's nothing like this. My mom and we just did an auction for my dad 3 weeks ago, and there was a guy there, and he went to the Grace Baptist Church where we grew up, like once or twice, and he got upset over something, and he was there, and he was asking about my dad dying, and my mom was saying something, and he said something that caused my mom to think, "I don't think he's saved," and my mom just said 2 or 3 things, and this dude, went back home, and he's going to another Baptist church in town now, and he couldn't shake it. Finally, he called up the pastor and said, "I don't think I'm saved." They went through the gospel, and he said, "No, I'm not." He got saved. So this is just like within 2 weeks ago. So I'll just tell you the conclusion since we all love stories. So yeah, they just showed up at my mom's house, and my mom, no, they called. They said, "We need to talk to you." My mom thought they were going to come over and yell at her because she was, you know, being too nosy or something like that. And they open up the door, and there's 12 red roses. And my mom's like, "Okay." And she said that she was so nervous, she kept on changing the subject. She kept on, like, just moving the subject around because she was so nervous that they were going to just crank on her. And then all of a sudden he goes, "Stop, Carol. I got to tell you something. I got saved." And you know what? I think sometimes some of us, we just think that God would never use broken things like us. Can I tell you, we're all messed up people. None of us really are that good at this. Seriously. I mean, I really rarely meet somebody really awesome at sharing the gospel. And we stumble around, and it's okay. It's okay to just stumble around and do your best and, because it's God who works. And then sometimes we communicate it confrontationally. You know what? There are times in the Bible where the prophets thundered. I I went back home from college. I was so burdened. I knocked on all my neighbors' houses because I was such a wild child and God did such a work in my life. And I tried to give everybody the gospel, right? Well, I came to Murray's house and he's LDS and he really just goes, no, bam. And I go, okay. Okay, so 3 years ago, I'm in Pennsylvania and I get this phone call and he goes, it's Murray. I said, yes. Yeah, I'm like, wow, yeah, what's up? He goes, I'm dying. I said, okay. He goes, 100 years old. And I come find out later, he had sent out the elders. And he goes, before I die, I want to talk to you. I said, what's up, Murray? I'm dying. Okay, I didn't need to build a bridge. I said, Murray, be saved. Turn from sin, trust in Christ, be saved. You're laying on bed, let me tell you something, Jesus is God. Stop trusting in works. You know your works don't save you. You know your head, Murray, be saved. Trust in Christ. Tonight, when we hang up the phone, cry out, be saved. You know what I'm saying? What else should I do? And there's times that in our, don't you think the Spirit of God is big enough to help us know when we should just be relational and just kind of say something small and walk away? And don't you think the Spirit of God is big enough to say like don't leave, right? How many of you have ever been in one of those circumstances where you just knew you had to say something? Don't be afraid. God will work. You know what? If you're not being an arrogant person, you know what I mean? We've all met arrogant people that think that when I give the gospel, somehow I'm gonna be more better than everybody else, and they got the air to them. Okay, okay. So if we're not being arrogant, okay, don't be arrogant, but don't be fearful. We got people around us that need Christ. I mean, Christy and I are just going round and round about what we think about. You know, we've been. Do you know that this is the longest? This last 5 months is the longest I've been in one location in 18 years of my life. So we're talking about this. We're talking about, you know, being in one location and yada, yada. And I said, what do you think about Salt Lake? And she goes, I love being a place that it's just so clear what our mission is. Do you know what a privilege the Christian community in Salt Lake has? It's a target-rich environment. It's an awesome place to live. There are a lot of people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's endless. Maybe we won't be the best at it, but at least we can obey at it, right? And so what is our manner? I'm just going to blitz through these. You got notes. Clarity. Take time to really explain what you're talking about, okay? Do you ever have something like, oh, we believe the same thing? Ever had that one? So take the time to explain with clarity. Read all of that right there. But then with credibility, don't back away from why people can't trust in Christ. What I mean by that is, one guy has a church in New York. He's talked about defeat the defeater belief. I love asking, so what is it that keeps you from trusting in Christ? So I had one lady, she goes this. She goes, oh, I could never trust in a religion. You know, I can never trust a religion that results in so many people's deaths. I said, what do you mean? She said, all the people that have been killed in Christians' name. I said, oh, you know what? That's why I can't be an atheist. Because the Khmer Rouge, because of communism, I said, that's why I'm not an atheist. I mean, ooh, all those people killed. So what just happened there? You just defeated the defeater. So what you did is you said, well, you say that you can't do this because of this, but you're actually doing that in your own life. And you're just taking the time. And by the way, those are like, sure, those are nice things to say, but what they do is they open the conversation and say, and you're able to go like, you know what's really going on here, ma'am, is that there's probably some area you don't want to submit to the claims of Christianity. And what's going on is you just said something that's not really true because you say you're an atheist, but there's a bunch of bad things that happen in the name of atheism too. And it's not, you're not trying to, you know, get one up. It's just you're trying to take the time to answer the defeater. So if somebody says something like, well, I just can't believe in Christ because, well, you should be able to answer that one. And if you can't answer that one, then that's where you need to study. Aren't you glad you have a tutor, the Holy Spirit, and the Word that works? And God brings people in our life all the time. Don't back away from the truth. I said this, I was joking the other day. Remember I said, if this isn't true, I want off the bus? I mean, if this stuff isn't true, if this has just been brainwashed in my head because I grew up in a Christian home, then I want off the bus. I don't want to live life like this. But I really do believe it's true. And therefore, the Word has all the answers we need. I skipped a bunch of good stuff there, so you're going to have to look at the notes. And then communicate the gospel with plausibility. You know, this fallen world so wants peace. Is there ever going to be peace outside of Christ? This world so wants to deal with like that lady. Why? You know what? She goes to a religious church in the area. Pornography kills love. Remember that? Well, I don't need a punch. That's a good thing, ma'am. You know what? I can identify with that message. You know what? I so appreciate your heart for that. You know what? I identify so with that. But can I tell you how it's going to work the best? You know, if I had time and it wasn't the supermarket, I'd say, ma'am, have you ever had a thought of anger towards somebody or a fear of something in the future or covetousness that you just return to over and over and over? And she'd have to say what? Yes. I said, just like pornography causes some men to lust, and they can't love, so your covetousness or your fear or your anger, it so gets you so wound up with your idols so you can't love. But can I tell you how it is that we can love? Because someone loved us first, and they loved us through Jesus Christ. Right? And people have all these hopes, but they're only going to be really, truly realized through the power of the gospel. Then transparency. Don't be okay with letting people know what's going on in your life. It's okay. It's okay that the unsaved neighbor sees you going through the trial of a wayward child. It's okay for the neighbor to see you struggling with stage 4 cancer. It's okay for them to know about the troubles you're having. Because that's where Christianity is revealed. I stumbled into a circumstance. I was buying a truck, and I was buying it from a Christian guy that got saved in a meeting, and then he owned a Ford dealership, and my brother-in-law worked for Ford. All these deals, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so I'm going there to buy it, and the guy's like, "So you must have a big family, huh?" And I said, "Well, at that time it was 3 or 4," and I said, "What about you?" And he goes, his face is dropped. He goes, "My son just got hit by a car and he died." And I said, "How are you and your wife doing?" And he's like, "Terrible. We're getting a divorce. We don't even know how to deal with the grief." And then out of the blue, he goes, "Can you tell me how my boss," so this is that guy that got saved, "how my boss is watching his wife die of breast cancer and he's still got joy?" Okay, talk about bumps at spike, right? That's like this like softball pitch. That's just like, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, all Mr. I'm going to buy a truck right now, but all of a sudden the Lord just goes, whoop. And I just looked at him. I said, "Would you like me to show you how you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ?" And he just stares at me for like 10 seconds, and he goes, "Okay." And so it kind of finished up some paperwork, and we went over to a little restaurant, and we go through the gospel, and this guy makes profession, and it's really a neat story, and I have sense. And you need to understand something. I am one of the most fearful people. I am not a good personal evangelist, okay? I'm saying that because I've thrown out all these stories right now, and sometimes it's almost like, "Wow, oh, I could never say that. Oh, man, he must be like professional." Oh, no, guys, I'm telling you, I fail at evangelism a lot. But you know what? If we'll just have a heartbeat for people, there are so many opportunities. And you know what's so amazing? Is so many of the opportunities, I am rebuked. Because was I really thinking about giving this guy the gospel? Do you know I probably was planning on going in there, buying the truck, and leaving, and not saying anything. Aren't you glad you have a God who cares? Aren't you glad that God just puts us right in these circumstances? Communicate with transparency. You know, trials break us of pride and self-righteousness. They make us live out the gospel. We think we're so spiritual, and then we have a trial, right? Then we really know who we are. So what are we responsible to do? First of all, know the gospel. Just love the gospel. Know the gospel. Study the gospel. Study theology. Know the terms. You don't know the big terms. We don't know what propitiation is. What if you took the next month and just study propitiation? First of all, I think your heart would be like juiced. Secondly, I think you'd just want to talk about it to somebody. And I think it'd just come out in some conversation. What if you did next week with redemption and then like justification and regeneration and what do these words really mean, but you're responsible to live the gospel? That was all last night, right? That's what we were talking about, live the gospel, and then we're responsible to share the gospel around us. I mean, you got all the examples. You see it here on the paper, Christ, Jesus. But then I want to just close with this. Be prayerful, patient, persistent. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You know what I've been praying? I've been praying today, like quite a few times, that God would build his church in Salt Lake, but specifically that God would build this church right here. I found myself praying specific prayers today that there would be some specific people saved in this assembly. You know, this is sweet to see you, and some of you have been faithful Christians in the city for a long time, and then some of you have just gotten saved 5-7 years ago, and you know what? You are a great encouragement to me. And you know what? We're praying that God would just bless this church. But what if came out of this meeting? What if all that, out of these seminars? What if all came out of it? Some of us are like, man, well, what? Think with me. Well, I'm not the best Christian, and I'm not even the smartest one. But I believe the gospel still changes people. And I'm going to try to know it, I'm going to try to share it, and I'm going to pray. What if that's all that came out? What if like only five of us? Wouldn't that be awesome? Where some of us really started to just weep over neighbors. Like just shedding tears over neighbors that are kind people, yet enslaved people. And what if we just shed tears and patiently, we just endured like Job did, right? I love this. Take my brother and the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and patience. And he goes on and says, Job. And then persistence. Paul, you know, I don't think it was fun being an apostle. And we got it so cushy nowadays. You know that? Don't you like air conditioning? Well, I love it. I've been on enough mission trips where I'm like, whoa, this is what Paul was like? And he walked everywhere. I don't want to walk. I like driving. How did we ever live without a cell phone? Food. I like food. I like American food. I like lots of American food. And you know what, Paul, he just jumped in the boat and he went next place. And don't you think we can just be patient and love and love those that God's put us in. And what if all that happened this week is we just really got prayerful, patient, persistent, and looking to know the gospel, looking to share the gospel. You know, these would be some well-spent days, don't you think? So how many of you have somebody that you're just, your heart just really hungers to hear one day they get saved? Who's got something like that? Okay, so I hope you don't feel guilted. First, it's pretty easy to make us guilty over evangelism. I hope you feel graced. I hope you feel like, wow, you know what? Through Christ, I can. You know what? I can conquer sin through Christ. You know what? I can seek things above through Christ. You know what? I can contrast this worldview through Christ. You know what? I really can know the gospel through Christ, and I can share the gospel. And all God's people say? So let's just kind of do one last review. Okay, the culture around us right now is saying, is it what? Real. Okay, the gospel worked then, and the gospel works now. What is the gospel? God, man, Christ response. And that gospel is to so work in us that we're able to seek things above, and we can conquer sin, because guess what? Religion, no, legalism, asceticism, and mysticism doesn't conquer sin, but Christ does. So that we look at our communities, people I don't know, just kind of sowing the seed. Maybe I'll meet somebody I, I want to know when we start being friends and maintain redemptive relationships, trust in the Spirit of God, how much time, how little time. You know, God will help us through that. And then we'll know the gospel. We'll talk and answer any questions they bring up. But we want to be prayerful, patient, and persistent.